67. Actually, 68 first. Ms. Seitz, where is Ms. Seitz? Ms. Seitz, HB 68.
67.
Let's take up 67. Now let's take up 68 first.
Mr. Chairman, how long are we going to go today, by the way?
Well, very shortly, but hopefully there's a couple of people I want to take testimony who have been waiting patiently.
Because I do have some other
I understand.
I need good labor and commerce, Mr. Chairman.
I understand, too. Ms. Seitz, could you very briefly, let's take the testimony of which is the, that's 68, is it not? Or 67?
Do you want me to speak to the committee substitute, or have you adopted the working?
No, we've just begun the public testimony. I'm just trying to figure out which bill we should take up. No civil liability. Is it 68? Let's take up House Bill 68.
All right. Mr. Chairman, for the record, Janet Seitz, staff to Representative Roquefort. House Bill 68 provides civil liability for driving the vehicle of an intoxicated person under certain circumstances. And that's, Mr. Chairman, you want me to describe?
Yes, please.
The Judiciary Committee substitute or?
Let's see, we have a CS, right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
The O version?
O version.
I move the O version forward 1401 for purposes of discussion. Are there any objections to adopting the O version? Seeing none, the O version is adopted. Ms. Seitz.
Mr. Chairman, this version provides that a person will not be liable for injury, death, or property damage resulting from a motor vehicle if the person was driving a vehicle involved in the accident, had the permission to do so, and the person was employed by a taxi cab, limousine, or a holder of such permit, and was not intoxicated, and was driving the motor vehicle to the intoxicated person's residence at the request of the owner or a law enforcement officer. This does not preclude liability for civil damages as a result of gross negligence or reckless or intentional misconduct. This is part of an effort, Mr. Chairman, to remove drunk drivers from their vehicles, but yet make sure that the intoxicated person's vehicle returns to the person's home safely. There is a concern by many people who are drinking that if their vehicle is left in a location near a licensed premises, it might be subject to damage, and this is an idea to get the vehicle home without the intoxicated person driving it.
The tipsy taxi bill. With that, I'd like to see if we have online some folks. Casey, are you there?
Yes, I am, Representative Roper.
Thank you very much. If you could give your name and affiliation and your testimony, we appreciate it.
Okay. My name is Casey McDowell. I'm the Executive Director for Alaska Char. And I've testified on this once before, and the one point I would like to bring up, I had all the taxi people here in my office, and we looked over the new substitute, and also their lawyer did, and it looks pretty good. The only concern that we have now is should that car break down and they would have to leave it someplace, we would like to make sure that they're covered there, that they're not liable for that either. We're trying to do everything we can to make the taxi drivers happy because they're not really going to make any money off this. We're going to be paying a small fee. We're looking at like maybe $40 to take the person home and the car home, which of course the industry is going to absorb the cost on that. But if we can't make the taxi people happy, we can't go ahead with our bill. So I just wanted to bring this to the attention of the committee.
And Ms. McDowell, is there how is this going to be happening? Can you explain to the committee the structure of how this is supposed to work?
Sure. The Downtown Partnership, and this is going to start in Anchorage and eventually spread statewide. There are people doing this around the state that are concerned about their liability right now. What we'll be doing, we'll be partnering with the Downtown Partnership, and we'll be establishing a network with the taxi companies. We'll have a special phone number that we'll call, and they'll have certain taxi drivers assigned to picking up an intoxicated person and their automobile. We'll also have a disclaimer there at the bar where they pick up the person, just as an extra added releasement from their liability. One taxi cab driver will be taking the person home, and the other one will be taking their car home, and it's only to their home. It's not allowed to be taken anyplace else. And then they will bill us, and the industry will pay for this, so there's no money that needs to be transferred from the patron to the taxi cab drivers other than a gratuity if they feel like it.
Very good. Any questions of Ms. McDowell? Representative James.
I do, and I guess I'm, thank you, Mr. Chairman, I am not really knowledgeable. I understand exactly what you're doing, and what you're saying then is that the taxi driver, in the event he's the one that's driving the vehicle home, for some reason or other, you know, flat tire or other kinds of things happening to that vehicle, and he has to leave it there, is he responsible if somebody comes along and does a lot of damage to it? That seems to be the concern. My other concern that I would have on this bill is for the industry who's paying this person to take them home, and what, if any, liability they might have in the event that there is an accident, and it, you know, would are we covered in this particular bill to not have any liability of the industry for paying for this and actually hiring the taxi cab driver?
Ms. Seitz, you want to answer that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative James, I think subsection B on page 2, lines 6 through 8, takes care of that, where it talks about a person licensed under 04, which is the alcohol laws, or an agent or employee of that person.
Well, let me follow up on that then. If that covers the accident, can we not then include in there any other kind of stalling that the vehicle had so that they would not be able to complete the process of getting the vehicle home?
Well, that's what Ms. McDowell brought up. I've got a little bit of a concern about that, because what we're talking about here is a personal injury thing. We're talking about the damage to the automobile. I'm not sort of certain we want to do that.
But there's no way we can do that?
I don't know. We haven't thought about that before. always new surprises. You know how those committee hearings are. But the point, in fact, is this is intended to allow for recovery of any damages if there is an accident against the existing insured vehicle. It's only in instances where there is no insurance that there would be no remedy for collection unless there was a gross negligence or recklessness. So we're trying to do our best there. And in terms of, I don't know, Ms. Seitz, I don't think we haven't even really talked about the property damage aspect.
Mr. Chairman, no, except for property damage resulting from the motor vehicle accident itself.
Right, from an accident. So, so Casey, you're saying that the cabbies want some kind of immunity for a broken down vehicle?
Saying that it would, the engine stop or something, you have to leave it on the road and have it towed, that they wouldn't be responsible for paying the tow. I mean, I know if they looked at a car and it looked old and dilapidated, they would probably refuse to drive it home. But, you know, a car that could look good could have an engine that's just going to stop on them halfway home, too.
I really don't know if we could even come up with something like that, quite frankly. Once we, you know, this is an immunity issue, I mean.
It doesn't seem like it's a problem, because if you start, I mean, the immunity applies once you start driving a vehicle away from the licensed premises, which, and I think we should probably tweak that language. Most people don't park exactly at the licensed premises, and exist until you reach the residence, which is your objective. So if you don't reach the residence, but you're in transit and something happens, you're still immunized.
Well, that's the immunity aspect. I think what they're seeking is some type of further immunity from responsibility for towing charges or something like that, and I think they would have that.
Yes. Yeah. That's, they're not liable.
If the clunker breaks, they'll just jump in the other cab and leave the car there. Or make arrangements for it. So.
Okay.
Because statutorily, we can't require people to pay for it once they've taken control to pay for something that they don't wish to pay for. For example, a tow. But Representative Berkowitz, you were saying the premises, what was that point, the tweak?
Well, most people don't, I won't say most people, but people don't always park exactly at the licensed premises. Sometimes they'll park on the street or around the corner. And so I would suggest that started driving the motor vehicle involved in the accident from a parking place in the vicinity of.
Where are you now?
Yeah.
Line one, page one, line 10.
How about from or near the licensed premises?
Right, that's fine. The other suggestion I'd make, Mr. Chair, is, you know, with HB4, we spent a lot of time distinguishing between intoxicated people and people who are under the influence. And I thought the term of art that we'd opted for was under the influence. And I'd suggest that we make conforming amendments to HB 68.
I agree. However,
that would be page 1, line 1, page 2, line 1, page 2, line 5, in two places.
Is that that's a conceptual. Let's say, well, let's have your intoxication to the under influence. Before we offer that, Ms. Seitz, did we have an opinion? We did discuss that, or did we? We did discuss, no, we didn't.
No, Mr. Chairman, the language.
It was based on current statute.
Right, and we added the language on are reasonably believed to be intoxicated at the suggestion of the Department of Law. Page 2, line 5.
And I would just have changed it. I reasonably believe the person to be under the influence. But we don't specify, I guess in HB4 we specified alcohol.
Well, it's defined there, so it'd be the transversal. So we'll take amendment number one conceptually as the under the influence amendment as required.
That'd be amendment two, because we did amendment one was from or near.
We're gonna have to go back because we didn't really adopt it. We didn't. Amendment number one would be changing the term intoxicated for under the influence as appropriate in the bill. Is that your understanding? Any objections to adopting conceptual amendment number one? Seeing none. And then conceptual amendment number two would be we're adding the words or near on page one, line 10 after from.
Parking place at or near.
Well, how about from or near? Just the word or near. We don't have to have a parking place. From or near. Or near is the. Any objections to conceptual amendment number two? Seeing none, we'll adopt that.
There was something, somebody just read something about. Department of Law?
What is
it? Somebody was talking about that one.
Oh, that was line 5, page 2, is or reasonably believed to be intoxicated or under influence. All right. Okay. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 68? Seeing none.
Ready for a motion?
Right. We'll close the public. Where are Representative Berkowitz?
I just want to make a point, too. Is, you know, we're concerned about immunity civil immunity, but I think that we also ought to try somewhere along the line to ensure that the taxi companies that are providing the service get some kind of insurance break for doing it. And nowhere in this bill do we provide an insurance break.
Okay. We looked into that. We tried to see if those provisions, matter of fact, there's the other companion bill here, which even puts some minimum floors for insurance, because we discovered there was no state law about that. But we looked into doing that and making sure that it was available. We can talk about that later. So.
I have no...
Chairman, I would move that House Bill 68 out of committee as amended of the individual recommendation and
pass. Is there any objections to moving House Bill 68? If not, so moved. What sites do you want? Just very briefly, take up 67, because it's the simplest bill we've seen all year.
Mr. Chair, I have another input to add.
It's a motor vehicle. It just adds insurance.
For what?
It just says taxi companies have to have insurance. That's all it does, Ms. Seitz.
Yes, that's the Judiciary Committee substitute, Mr. Chairman, for the record, Janet Seitz, Representative Wilkberg's office. The Judiciary Committee substitute version J just establishes minimum requirements for taxicab insurance, and the requirements were lowered from the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute due to some concerns expressed by some of the taxicab companies.
Well, we discovered when we were doing the other bill that there's no requirement for insurance for taxi cabs in the state of Alaska.
I thought every vehicle on the road was...
Right, so that's all this does. It sets up very minimal limits.
Does this have a labor and commerce referral?
Yeah, it already came from there, but we're lowering the limits a little bit because of the problems and inconsistencies around the state. But unless you wanted to discuss the issue about insurance breaks, which we did bring up. I mean, it's a real simple bill. Well, first I'd like to move the CS for House Bill 67, Judiciary J version, as a committee substitute. Is there any objection to adopting the J version?
I object, and I just to know the distinction between the J version and the F version.
Ms. Sykes.
Mr. Chairman, in the Labor and Commerce Committee, or the F version, the limits for the coverage was set at 301 injury or death to one person in one accident, 500 bodily injury or death, two or more, and 100,000 property. In the J version, it's 100-350. And this was after consultation with some of the taxi cab companies who expressed concern that they could not obtain limits in their areas. And there is a chart in the packet because in some areas there is taxi cab insurance mandated by local ordinance.
Right.
And that's what this spreadsheet is.
This is why we lowered it, so we didn't outlaw any current local ordinance that was in place. Representative Berkowitz?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there seems to be more complexity to this than I have time to comment now. So if you would put this over till the next time, I'd appreciate it. Because I'd like to hear more about the unavailability of insurance.
You know, I was once accused of making very simple things more complex.
Well, you've made something more complex, more simple.
This is real simple. So,
Mr. Chairman,
but if given the numbers of bodies that we got here, I'd have no choice. You have me over a barrel, Representative Berkowitz. You sneaky devil,
but
you.
Before we go, I'd like to make a comment on that, Mr. Chairman.
Madam Representative James.
You know, if there isn't insurance available for taxi cabs, I don't think there should be taxi cabs.
That's right.
I don't know what is available. I suspect that if we have laws in the state that this is what's required, that this would be what's required. And, you know, I thought we had a laws on the book that if you had a car and a driver's license, you had to have insurance on your vehicle. But I suspect that some of these taxi cabs are owned by the company,
seem to me like a company is still a person in many ways, and so it's surprising to me that we might have anybody out there driving without insurance.
Believe me, Ms. Representative James, I didn't even want to introduce this bill, but it was an obvious hole in our statutes.
It's horrible.
It is.
Horrible. So,
but if Representative Frigulis wants to, you know, hold off on protecting the consumer for one more day, and we'll do that.
I don't want them out there without having insurance.
If it's that much of a concern, we can always change the effective date.
That's right. And I appreciate you.
We can help with that.
Looking into this with a fine-tooth comb and reading Janice's chart. We're adjourned.
Thank you.